أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. Dear viewers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The topic under discussion was the advantages of morality. In my previous speech, I talked about one of the main advantages of morality. I pointed out that if morality is fully observed, if moral principles are taken into account, it will have positive impacts on your life. It will help you to do good deeds very easily. To explain it, I said that doing good deeds is not always easy. Doing good deeds instead is always coupled with difficulties, problems, and hardships. That is why everyone is not able to do good deeds and to tend towards doing good deeds. It is because good deeds are always along with difficulties. But a person who observes moral values, a person who respects moral principles, he develops the habit to do good deeds very easily. He does not feel any difficulty while doing anything good. Instead, he is at ease while doing good deeds. Take the example of night prayer. To perform night prayer is very difficult because you are supposed to wake up and to do the night prayer at midnight or after midnight. It is not easy to get up after midnight, and it is not easy to perform ablution and to do this task very easily and successfully. But a person who is well behaved, God the Almighty helps him to do such duties very easily. Like the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, we are not obliged to do the night prayer, but the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was obliged to do the night prayer, and he did not feel any difficulty in offering the night prayer. Rather, it was something that was giving enthusiasm to the Holy Prophet. It was very much helpful to the Holy Prophet to keep in touch with God the Almighty and to talk with God the Almighty. Same is the case with other practices. It is very much difficult to spend in the way of God. It is very difficult to distribute your belongings or some of your belongings in the way of God. But a person who believes in God, a person who believes in the hereafter, a person who believes in the power of God, he spends his money in charity very easily. He is very helpful to the needy. to the poor. And he is very much prepared to do such kind of tasks. So you see that doing good things is not easy. Even going on Hajj pilgrimage is not easy, because you have to spend, you have to give time, you have to take some risks of traveling abroad. But you can overcome all these difficulties if you observe moral values. Because the moment you observe moral values, God begins to help you. If you sincerely obey God, if you sincerely do your religious duties, God will help you throughout your life. And God will help you to do your duties very easily. And that is the reason why we find that the believers are always prepared to do their duties very easily and very comfortably. Contrary to the believers, those who are not fully believers, those who have problems in their faith, and those who do not observe moral values, they have lots of problems in doing their religious duties. So that is one of the advantages of observing morality. Today I want to touch another advantage of observing morality. This advantage, to begin with, is the balancing of your carnal desires. Of course, every one of us has carnal desires. We have different passions. We have different desires. We have anger, and that is why we sometimes become angry. We have patience, and that is why we sometimes fall in love. And sometimes we begin to hate and despise somebody. And there is always also the example of intellect. We can be very much wise, just as we can also be foolish. So these desires, these passions, these elements, psychological elements, they are all important. They are necessary for us to continue our life. Without these elements, without these God-given desires, we are not able to continue our life. We are not able to face the difficulties. We are not able to manage our life. God has given these desires to us in order to help us to do the things properly and to manage our life successfully. But how can we manage these desires? How can we adjust these desires? How can we balance these desires? How can we reach in a state of equilibrium? Moral scholars believe that the observation of moral values is one of the key factors that helps you to gain equilibrium. It assists you to gain control over your desires. It helps you to manage your desires and your attitudes very easily and very comfortably. How can one adjust one's desires? For example, we can give a look at the passion or at the sentiment of anger. Anger can have various degrees. At some degree, it is very bad. And at some degree, it is very positive and useful. And again, at other degrees, it cannot be accepted. If anger is at the top or at the peak, it is very bad. One may be like a switch. One may go very much barbaric if anger is very high. And if anger is very low, again, it's very bad. Because at that time, one will not be able to defend oneself against dangers, against enemies. But if anger is in between these two extremes, then it is located at an ideal state, in an ideal position. And that is what moral scholars emphasize on. Moral scholars ask us to take a middle position while managing our desires. Same is the case with passion. Passion at one extreme may be very much dangerous. It may lower your position to the stage of an animal. Just as an animal looks for the satisfaction of its passion, a human being who is always after the satisfaction of his desire is just like an animal. There is no difference between an animal and a human being who is after the satisfaction of his desires. But if this passion is very low, again it is very bad. At that time, there will be no reproduction. There will be no familial life. There will be no marriage. There will be no marital relationship. All these are dependent on the existence of this desire. There should be passion, there should be love, there should be affection. If these elements do not exist, then our life will not continue. We will not be able to reproduce. And our race and our life will be at stake. So the best thing is that we should again take the middle way. We should neither annihilate this desire, nor we should always adhere to this desire and promote this desire. We should take a moderate attitude towards this desire. We should use it very moderately and very correctly. Same is the case with intellect. Intellect has to be managed. We need to manage the usage of intellect. If intellect is used very extremely, it will be negative, it will be bad. One may be like Satan. One may turn in evil. If one does not make use of intellect, again it is very bad. He will be a foolish person. He will be an idiot. The best thing is that one should make use of intellect in a moderate way. And that is what the theory of the mean, as proposed by Aristotle and advocated by Islamic scholars, say. The theory of the mean tells us that we should always take the middle path. The middle path is the right path. So these are the main elements we are encountering in our own body. We have intellect, we have passion, and we have anger. These are the main elements which we have. And we need to manage these elements and these desires. And the best way we can manage this desire is to follow a middle way and to take a middle path and to follow moderation. We should not be extremists. Being an extremist is not good. We should try to be moderate in following values and managing our desires and managing our passions. This is what the Muslim scholars say. But contrary to Muslim scholars, there are certain circles here and there who are, to some extent, extremists. For example, if you give a look at some Sufis or mystics, they want to annihilate human desires and instincts. And that is not good. And that is not acceptable. As I told you, if a person tries to annihilate his passions, his desires, then in the long run, he will not be able to continue his life. There will be no reproduction. There will be no marriage. There will be no marital relationship. And as a result, human beings will not be able to continue their life. The materialists who are after the satisfaction of these worldly desires, they are also extremists. And there is no difference between the Sufis who are spiritualists and the materialists who do not have any belief in metaphysics. Because both of them are extremists. The Sufis are extremists because they do not recognize human desires. They want to eradicate human desires. They want to uproot human desires. And the materialists are also extremists because they capitalize on human desires too much. They equalize human being with his desires. And they believe there is nothing beyond the existing desires. So there is no difference between the two. Islam neither accepts the path suggested by the Sufis and mystics, and nor does it accept the path suggested by the materialists, suggested by those who do not believe in metaphysics. Islam suggests a middle way. Islam suggests a moderate way. Islam is of the view that one must follow a moderate way. And that is what the Muslim scholars also emphasize on. And that is why if you give a look at Islamic texts, you will also find evidence. You will also find documents that tell you that one need to follow the middle path. This is the Holy Quran that says, لا تتبع الهوى فيضلك عن سبيل الله. Don't obey your carnal desires. Interpreters believe that this does not mean that one should forget about his desires. One should forget about the satisfaction of all desires. Rather, it means that you should not be very excessive while dealing or while satisfying your desires. You should give a chance to your desire, but you should not capitalize too much on your desires, because you have other things also, and you have to reach them. You have to satisfy them. So the Holy Quran says that do not obey your desires and do not be the servant of your desires. Why? This is because if you follow your carnal desires too much, if you are the servant of your carnal desire, then what will happen? This will mislead you from the path of God. This will deviate you from the right path. And that is very bad. And that is very bad. If a person is misled, if a person is deviated from the right path, then of course he will destroy his future. And if a person does not have the future, then he is actually not a lucky person. So that is why the Holy Quran tells us to be moderate and to deal with our desires very properly and very correctly. And this is Imam Ali, peace be upon him, who also says the same thing. He says, وَالشَّقِيُّ مَنْ انْخَدَعَ لِهَوَاهُ. Unlucky, unlucky is he who is deceived by his desires. If your desires are in your control, if your desires control you, if your desires lead you, then you will be an unlucky person. But if your desires are controlled by you, if you are the manager of your desires, if you are the controller of your desires, then you are not an unlucky person. You are a lucky person. You are a lucky person. So that is the reason why we see our leaders, our Muslim leaders, emphasize on the observation of moral values. And that is why we find out that Muslim leaders were very much particular about the observation of moral values. Look at Imam Ali. Imam Ali is really an example of morality. He used to observe moral principles throughout his life. He never forget about moral principles, even in a very, very bad moment. You can remember the event of the Battle of Khandaq. In the Battle of Khandaq, Imam Ali was to face Amr ibn Abdawad. When the Imam wanted to behead him, Amr ibn Abdawad did a very bad thing. He threw his spit on the face of Imam Ali. It was very bad. It could make Imam Ali very much angry. And Imam became angry, according to some quotations. And Imam wanted to kill him, but all of a sudden, he stopped. He did not kill him. He went and walked away for a moment. And then he came back to behead him. Amr asked, why did you go away? And why didn't you behead me a moment ago? Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said that if I beheaded you at that time, that was very bad. Because at that time I was very much angry. If I could kill you at that time, I would have obeyed my anger, not God the Almighty. And since I'm a servant of God, and since I want to obey God's commandments, therefore I did not kill you at that time, and I walked for a moment in order to be actually normal, and then I came back to do my duty in regard with you. So that is the reason why we say that Imam Ali was an example of morality. He used to observe moral principles at any time and at any moment. So that is the advantage of observing moral principles. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was also a clear example of moral behavior. He was the master of Imam Ali, and he was the Holy Prophet, and he was a guide for all of us, including our imams. He was also very much particular about moral values. According to the traditions of the Holy Prophet, we come to know that he used to obey each and every moral values. Whenever he had a meeting with his companions, he did not sit in a place where it would imply that he was a leader. Instead, he used to sit in a place where it did not have any implication. When a newcomer would come, he could hardly recognize who the Holy Prophet was. Look at this morality, how sublime this morality is, how magnificent this morality is. Compare the Holy Prophet with the day-to-day leaders. Compare him with the present politicians and even religious leaders. The distinction between the two is very huge. But one cannot compare the Holy Prophet with anyone of the religious leaders of the present era. Who cannot be particular about his position today? And who is not very much interested in his own fame and reputation today? So that is why God tells him that إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَزِيمٍ. You have a high morality. And that is why God tells him that you have got a high morality and you deserve every kind of admiration. So today I talked about another advantage of morality. To sum up, I would like to say that one of the advantages of moral values is that it helps you to adjust your desires, your passions, and your instincts. You cannot manage these desires, and you cannot actually locate these desires in a state of equilibrium unless and until you observe moral values and you ask for the help of God the Almighty. Thank you very much.